Happy Wednesday morning. Thank God for another opportunity to come and talk about his awesome, awesome word and that we can learn from him and just see what he has for us this morning. Let's jump into prayer and then we will jump into the word of the Lord. Father God, we come to you this morning with grateful and expectant hearts, Lord God. We thank you that you are our Father, you are the Redeemer, you are the lifter of our heads, you are the God of all creation. And this morning, Lord, I pray a special prayer, God, for those children that have went on a couple day trip, Lord. I pray for their safety. I loose angels all around them. I pray that they will not only go down and have a great time, Lord, but they will get to experience you in mighty, mighty ways, Lord. And I pray that you bring them home to their respective homes whenever you see fit, Lord. I pray for Brother Gary, his surgery. I pray for everybody in this call that will hear this message, that, Lord God, we may all know you. We may all experience you. We may all be able to listen to you. We may all be able to not only listen, but obey so that our lives can forever be changed, God. I thank you this morning, God, for those kids that are traveling, that you will give them traveling mercy, traveling grace, Lord. I pray that you, the people that are with them, will give them supernatural wisdom and understanding. And God, I pray that you will open up our hearts this morning to receive what thus saith the Lord. We pray these things, God, and we believe them, and we thank you that they're already done. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, obviously, our kids started back school last Friday. Still don't understand why they go to school for a day, but anyways. So as school started back up, the kids will start having homework, and Alex does a really, really good job going over their homework and all that kind of stuff with them. So I began to talk to Joshua about some of the math he may be doing this year. Me and him really like math. And as I began to think of these different math equations and I guess the possibilities of math, I began to remember that when I was a kid, I really, really loved math. And I was pretty good at it, but there was one part, the less than or greater than or equals to equations, that for some reason it just, I guess it confused me. I couldn't remember the little, I call it an alligator mouth. If it pointed this way, did it mean less than? Or if it pointed, I guess to the left, it meant greater than, and to the right, it meant less than. I guess wherever the mouth opens to, meant greater than. And as I began to think about these things and talk to Joshua about them, even this morning, God, man, he instantly dropped a word to me and took me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, the Gospel of John chapter 4. And I began to think about the ways that I used to be confused with these equations. And I remember one way was, I could figure out 5 was greater than 2. But when it would be like 5 squared, is that greater than or equal to or less than the number 20? I would be like, well, 5 times 2 is 10. So, 10 is less than 20. But I didn't realize that 5 squared meant 5 times 5, so obviously 25 is greater than 20. And see, what I want to talk about this morning goes right along with that, and I want to talk about that God is always greater than. You see, when I messed up that 5 squared, not understanding that that was 25 and that it's greater than 20, when I finally realized how to work the problem, how to solve the equation, the numbers never changed. They were completely the same, but my understanding is what changed. My knowledge is what changed. My ability to apply what I had learned had changed, so therefore I could become successful. Therefore, I could get the right answer. You see, brothers and sisters, this morning there is one constant that we have in our lives. No matter what is going on in the economy, no matter who is in the White House, no matter who our state representative or senator or your financial situation, and that is God. And I know that's a very simple thing to understand at times, but it's not always easy. And I believe that in the scripture, anytime God showed himself to somebody or God had a interaction with somebody, I believe there were a few steps that person had to take to realize that he was greater than. So this morning in John chapter 4, I want to talk about the woman at the well. Probably one of my top favorite stories in the Bible, because I believe it's a very, very simple story, But I believe it's a story that can help all of us this morning. So I'm going to start John chapter 4, verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Verse 8, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." You see, brothers and sisters, this morning, the very, very first thing that we have to be willing to do, I'm going to give us three steps to realize that God is always greater than. The very, very first thing that we must do is we have to be honest. You are the only person besides God that knows where you're truly at. You're the only person that knows what you're dealing with. You're the only person that knows the sin that you hold on to, that I hold on to. I'm the only person that really, truly, truly knows some of the things that I need to let go of. And you see, when this woman encountered Jesus, she didn't know that he was greater than her problems. She had no idea of the encounter she was about to have that would forever change her life, and I believe change the life of thousands and thousands of people. And I would even argue change the lives of millions of people, because we're still talking about it 2,000 plus years later. You see, the very, very first thing that this woman that encountered our Lord and Savior Jesus did is she was honest. She didn't try to say, "Oh, holy Lord Jesus, you're so awesome." She said, "Listen, why are you even talking to me?" She said, "You're not supposed to be talking to me. You're not supposed to have any dealings with me, because your people don't mix with my people." In other words, your people think you're better than me, and my people think we're better than you. She was extremely honest with this man that she had never spoken to before. And us being believers, us being Christians, we talk to God, we hear from God, we pray to him, we believe that he is who he says he is, and yet we're so reluctant to be honest. We're so reluctant to be honest with him, because we know that once we're honest with him, that forces us to make a decision. You see, when I was looking at that math problem, you know, I had a 50-50 chance to say if it was greater than or less than. I had a 33.33 chance to say that it was greater than, less than, or equals to. But that wasn't good enough for me. I wanted to get it right every time. You see, I wanted to make sure that I understood how to work the equation. I don't want my kids to guess at the math work. I don't want them to guess at the homework. I don't want them to guess when they take their math test or their test at the end of the year, whatever it may be. I want them to know how to work the equation. I want them to understand the steps. And when they take those steps, I then want them to get the correct answer. And brothers and sisters, I know from God this morning, he wants us to know that he is greater than. Greater than what? And the answer is absolutely everything. He is greater than your pain. He's greater than your resentment. He's greater than your worry or your fear. And the absolute first step that you have to take is exactly what this Samaritan woman said. It's the very, very, very first step that I have to take, and I have to be honest with God. After she's honest with him, she says, "Listen, you shouldn't be talking to me. I shouldn't be talking to you." She says in verse 10, Jesus says in verse 10, Jesus answered her and said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Verse 11, the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" Verse 12, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" The very, very second step after we're honest with the Lord Jesus, after we're honest with God, is we have to be willing to not only be honest with him, but we have to be willing to ask him questions if we don't understand. We have to be willing to evaluate what he told us. Probably one of the most frustrating things that I ever experienced with my kids, especially my son or our son, is I'll explain to him how to do something in school or how to fix something or whatever it may be. And he instantly says, okay, Dad, gotcha. I understand. And then, you know, 2 hours later, he's messing it up again. And I'm saying, Joshua, I thought that you understood. You said, okay, Dad. You said, okay, Dad, I got you. He said, yeah, but I was scared to ask you again. He said, Dad, I was afraid you would be disappointed with me. He says, Dad, I was confused, and I didn't want to tell you I was confused because I wanted you to be proud of me. Brothers and sisters, how many of us this morning, yeah, we can be honest with God at times, but we're still scared to ask if we don't understand? How many of us we think we should be so far in our walk with God because we've been serving God for so long, we've been honoring God for so long, that we're faking it until we make it, so to speak? You see, what I love about God is no matter if you've served him for one day or 30 years, he is still willing to answer your questions. He's still willing to meet each one of us exactly where we're at. You see, what makes me proud of my son is when he says to me, Dad, I don't understand. Dad, I know you've told me 10 times, but that maybe that 11th time will help me out. When my daughter says, Dad, explain it to me again. You see, one thing I love about my 6-year-old is she is absolutely unashamed to speak her mind. The other day, we were in the kitchen and I ran up to Alex and I gave her a hug and I gave her a kiss. And Isabel ran over and she put her hand between us and she said, leave some room for Jesus. You see, she's not scared to come over and tell us, hey, I don't like when you hug each other or when you kiss each other or when you show each other emotions or you show each other compassion. That makes me feel kind of funny, so I want to separate you. I don't agree with it, but she doesn't know how to handle that emotion, but at least she's honest. You see, that little 6-year-old teaches me that sometimes I don't know how to handle my emotions with God. Sometimes I'm disappointed. Sometimes I'm like, God, I've prayed for this 30 times. God, I still can't get this right. But if I'm willing to go to him, if I'm willing to be honest and ask the questions, then I can allow God to show me that he's greater than that situation in my life. You see, the woman at the well, she was not ashamed. She was not ashamed of the situation she was in. She said, listen, you shouldn't be talking to me. And once she was honest, she began to ask him questions. She said, listen, you said you're going to give me something that's this, you know, quote unquote, living water, but you don't even have a pail in your hand. You don't even have a cup in your hand. She was questioning the same person that hung the moon. She was questioning the same person that separated the heavens from the water. She was questioning the same person that breathed the breath of life into Adam. And God was not offended. Jesus did not condemn her for her questions. Jesus did not strike her down with lightning. Jesus did not cast her into the eternal pits of hell. So brothers and sisters, I have good news. Don't you be scared. Don't you dare allow the enemy to hold you back from asking questions, whether that be to your pastor, your apostle, to your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, no matter who it may be that you have questions for, don't hold those questions. I believe one of the greatest things the enemy does to keep us from our destiny is he makes us ashamed. He makes us scared and worried that somebody's going to judge us. If you're not judged by God, then who cares what everybody else says? Who cares what everybody else thinks? Don't allow peer pressure to move you in any kind of direction. You ask your questions because I promise you, if you're willing to ask your questions, then you're going to help somebody else. I remember in class, I used to ask questions and I was like, man, am I the only one with questions? And later on, people would tell me, listen, I'm glad you asked because I had no idea what the teacher was talking about. You see, so many times in the scripture, people begin to ask Jesus questions, not because they necessarily doubted him, but they wanted to make sure for themselves. The woman at the well said, listen, you have nothing in your hand. How can you help me? And I absolutely love Jesus' response in verse 13. And this is the part, brothers and sisters, if we're going to allow God to show us that he's greater than, yes, we have to be willing to first step. We have to be willing to be honest with him. Second step, we have to be willing to ask him and to evaluate what he says to us. And the third, and maybe the most important, is you have to be willing to listen and respond. Not only listen, listening's not good enough. Listening is not good enough if you want God to be greater than whatever it is you're facing. Knowledge is not good enough. You got to have understanding. And what I mean by that is if I see a chair, if I've walked 100 miles, Lord, don't let that happen. But if I walked 100 miles and I'm tired and I see a chair sitting across the room, for me to have the knowledge that that chair can hold me up is not enough. For me to know that that's a chair is not enough. I have to have the knowledge and the understanding that that chair can hold my body weight, that that chair will give me comfort, that that chair will allow me to rest my feet. How do I know that chair will allow me to rest my feet? Because I've sat in a chair tens and tens of thousands of times in my life. Because I've seen people heavier than me sit in chairs. Because I've experienced it before. And brothers and sisters, how do you know? How do I know that God is greater than whatever it is you're facing? Because I've experienced it. Because you've experienced God moving on your behalf. You got to be willing to listen to him and willing to respond. So when Jesus tells this woman in verse 13, Jesus answered her and said, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again," talking about the water of the well. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give them will never thirst again. But the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up unto everlasting life." Verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." I about ran around my house this morning when I read this because I've never seen it. And I honor God for showing me. So Jesus says, "Listen, I'm going to give you something that you'll never thirst again. This is living water. It's going to spring up inside of you. And it's going to bring forth everlasting life." And what I love about God is Jesus is about to take her through the steps again. Because Jesus wants her to realize that "I'm greater than your pain in your past. I'm greater than your current situation." So the first step was she had to be honest. Jesus told her to go get your husband. And the lady's response is this. Verse 17, the woman answered him and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well, you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly." He was saying, "Listen, you were honest with me when you said you don't have a husband." You see, some of us, the first time that we want to realize God is greater than, we don't make it through steps 1, 2, 3 in that order. Sometimes we got to go to step 1, step 2, step 3, and we got to repeat again. You see, the woman at the well had not realized that he really was who he said he was yet. She went through the 3 steps and he's like, "Listen, you don't get it yet. So I need you to be honest with me again. I need you to tell me the truth, because telling God the truth doesn't benefit him, brothers and sisters. It doesn't benefit me when I tell God what he already knows. It benefits me. It benefits me because I'm willing to let go of it. It benefits me because I'm willing to trust God with the truth." And she trusted our Lord and Savior Jesus. She said, "Listen, I don't have a husband." But the very, very next thing that she had to do is she began to ask and evaluate again. Verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming, and the hour now is when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but you must worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is of the Jews." I want to skip down to verse 25. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." You see, brothers and sisters, she didn't believe yet, but she was willing to ask him. She was willing to be honest with him and evaluate everything that he was saying to her. Don't be dismayed. Don't be beat down if you don't get it as fast as others. Don't think that you have to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. Don't think that just because somebody's speaks better or differently than you that it's any better. Don't think that because somebody prays a certain kind of way that prayer gets to heaven faster. Brothers and sisters, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God sent him on the third day to be raised from the dead again, then you have salvation. You have the very same access that I have. I have the very same access that you have. Do not let the enemy try to convince you or trick you that somebody else's prayer is better than yours, or somebody's more anointed than you, or somebody's more powerful than you. The Bible says that you have the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. You are strong in the Lord. You are redeemed. You are loved. These things are just so. God is greater than everything in our lives that's not like him. You may tell me, Brother Allen, I've had pain for 30 years, and I can tell you with the confidence that God gives me, that God is greater than your pain. God is greater than your unforgiveness. God is greater than my doubts and my questions and my worries. But in closing this morning, if I'm not willing to be honest with him, if I'm not willing to ask him questions and evaluate what he says to me, then I'll never be willing to listen. I'll never be willing to respond. A few chapters over, I think it's John chapter 10, Lazarus had died. Everybody's upset. Everybody's tore up. The Bible says he stinks. It's 4 days later. Jesus shows up on the scene. And I'm telling you, when you read the scripture, try to see when people would be honest with God. Try to see when people would ask God questions and evaluate what he said, New Testament, Old Testament, it don't matter. And see when they listen and when they respond. But Jesus gets on the scene. Lazarus has been dead. The Bible says on purpose, Jesus showed up late. I love God. He loves to show out because he's greater than. When they were being tossed on the sea to and fro, he got upset with the disciples. He said, listen, why are y'all upset? Why are y'all worried? Do you not know who I am? And I hear God screaming that in my life when I mess up or when I fall short or when I'm worried. And he says, listen, don't you know who I am? Greater than. I don't know of any math equation that the answer is always greater than. I don't know of any other scenario or any other thing that I can always say is greater than except God. You put Jesus in the equation, the answer is always greater than. So Martha says to Jesus, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would have lived. I'm like, dang. Martha, you got it going on. You knew that if he was in the place, if he was in the building, that this would have never happened. That's awesome kind of faith. That kind of faith is what the kind of faith that I seek after. That kind of faith is what I think, you know, Jesus is about to applaud you. And Jesus' response to Martha is, no, Martha. No, Martha. Your brother will rise again. And Martha says back to Jesus, she says, I know in the last day, I know I'm full of faith, God. I know that when the dead in Christ shall rise first, I know he'll get up. When that event happens, Lord Jesus, I know he'll rise again. But what I'm saying is if you would have been here, Jesus, if you would have intervened, this would have never happened. And Jesus says something that runs straight through me every time I say it. Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. What he was telling Martha is, Martha, I'm greater than your faith. Good God Almighty. He said, Martha, I'm greater than any event that's going to happen in the past, present, and future. You see, this morning, brothers and sisters, God doesn't care about your pain in the past or the pain now or your pain in the future in the sense that he's worried about he's not greater than. My God does not operate in time. He's greater than. You see, we couldn't even start time until he got here. We talk about 15 BC before Christ or 1642 AD or 2022. He is the zero on the timeline because he is greater than. Brothers and sisters, I don't care what it is. And I'm speaking to myself probably more than anybody else this morning. If you have pain, my God is greater than. If you have unforgiveness, my God is greater than. Just like he told Martha, yeah, you do have faith. Yes, and you're right that he will get up. But when I come on the scene, when I'm here, all the rules are thrown out the window. When Jesus, brothers and sisters, comes into your lives, that throws everything else out the window. When Jesus comes in and invades your heart, everything else is out. I encourage each one of us this morning to be honest, to ask God anything you want to ask God. And when he gives you the answer, don't just hear it, evaluate it, think about it, try God. The Bible says in the book of Malachi, test me. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you won't even be able to hold. And yes, that's talking about tithes and financial things, but it's talking about a whole lot more than that. And at the very, very end, make sure that you listen to him. And make sure you respond. Because my God is greater than it all. Let's pray. Father God, I honor you this morning. I thank you, God, that you are exactly who you say and that you're even greater than that, Lord God. God, when David called out, where can I go from your presence? He said, I can't even go to hell, God, because you're there. Because you are greater than hell. You are greater than everything, Lord God. And I put you in your position of greatness this morning. And I pray for my brothers and sisters. God, I pray that you will reveal yourself to us, Lord. I pray that your power and your anointing will heal our hearts. And I thank you this morning that you're protecting our children. You're protecting our friends and our family. And that you're protecting us, God. God, I know sometimes that I look at the economy or I look at what's going on in Washington or whatever, and God, I'll complain and I'll get worried and I'll question and I'll doubt things. But God, I thank you this morning for the reminder that you are greater. And I thank you that, God, I don't have to say greater than this or greater than that. You're just greater. Lord Jesus, I pray for Brother Kevin's business. I pray for everybody that works there, that interacts with them. I pray that you will continue, Lord God, continue to blow their minds financially, God. Continue to bring business that's never been there before, God. Give them peace and give them wisdom on how to accept it and how to do things and make things happen, God. And we honor you this morning, Lord. I thank you that you are a God of forgiveness, and I thank you that you redeem us and take care of each one of us. We believe these things. We thank you, God, that they're settled in the heavens. In Jesus' name, amen.